If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
John Curran is the Senate GOP leader. He joins us here on GN. John, welcome back to the show. I hope you're doing well.
I am, John. Thank you. It's very nice to be back with you.
As the GOP leader in the state, I understand that you're not thrilled with the budget that just passed.
Well, John, we ended up in opposition to the budget. Unlike past years, this was a year where we were very involved in the Senate. Certainly, the process was good. There was a lot of collaboration, but ultimately, when it came down to the final details as to what were going to be the spending priorities, we think it missed the mark.
Tell me what's good about it, and then I'll ask you more about your criticism. That's mostly why you're here. That is, what's the other point? But what's good about this $50.4 billion budget?
John, it's a budget that does a very good job in education, not only K through 12, once again having investing in an additional $350 million in K through 12 education in this state. The funding formula is going to lift. We're going to be all but two school districts left in the state in the bottom tier of that funding formula. So that year over year has been working. Also, big investments in higher education in our universities, MAP grants for underprivileged students, getting them into college, as well as AIM High, which is incredibly important in my area, which are more merit-based scholarship programs through the state. So really, education, I think, is the big highlight, as well as the governor's initiative investing in early education, which is, you know, and he's certainly right. It's a sound investment long term.
When I hear these kind of numbers, I say, okay, good. Here goes an extra $350 million. Is it specific programs like at this school, we're going to hire another teacher to help those kids get better scores in first grade? Or is the process not that detailed?
The process is not that detailed. It's really lifting the funding levels of the lowest, most impoverished areas around the state, which is ultimately going to be the solution on trying to reduce the reliance on local property tax to fund education, K through 12 education in this state.
Yeah, but it does make me, though, kind of want to follow the money trail then. So after that money's allocated, how does it get spent? Who has the money? What do they do with it? You know what I mean? I'm not doubting anybody's integrity. I would like to know the process, right?
Absolutely. And, John, that's really that accountability level at those local school boards, board by board, you know, and also taking a look at those reserve levels, which out in my area can be very high. And should we still be levying the property tax we're levying when we're holding reserves well beyond what would possibly be needed with a financial setback?
John, how do you feel about the raise for state lawmakers?
You know, John, this is we just had a significant raise passed in January, and this is another one 5 months later. This is really sending a bad message to the public, really putting lawmakers first in line, which is not leadership, and it's not the role we're supposed to be playing when we set policy for this state. So I think it's a misguided approach. It is something that the Republicans do not support, did not support, and it was one of the reasons I think you saw all no votes from Republicans on the budget.
Yeah. It's a 5% raise. The lawmakers are going to make now, I think, about $89,000, right?
$89,000 base, and then there are committee. If you're a chair or spokesperson on a committee, there's a stipend that goes involved. Or if you're in leadership, someone like myself, stipends involved with that as well.
Do you? What is the status? I just a little while ago visited with Mark Gannis, who's a sports marketing expert. He's an expert on cities, states, and stadiums. What is the status of helping the Bears fund a stadium, say, in Arlington Heights? Didn't we pass legislation that will prohibit the state from helping the Bears?
We didn't pass anything that would prohibit it. We haven't done anything that would allow it or you know, provide the help that the Bears were looking for in terms of local taxing certainty. The Bears have gone a different route now, trying to negotiate directly. I think they have a very difficult terrain ahead. It is a legislature dominated by Chicago. And when you talk about the Bears leaving the city of Chicago, that puts a lot of legislators that represent the city who are all in the majority party in a difficult position.
Yeah.
And so I think
that
that's a real complication.
Well, so just in general, what should the state's relationship be with the Bears vis-a-vis Arlington Heights or Naperville or for that matter, the city of Chicago? What role should the state taxpayers play?
In terms of the state paying tax, providing tax incentives, the state should stay out of that. What the Bears were looking for was the state allowing the local taxing bodies to negotiate certainty over a long term. And what the Bears wanted to do would involve a change in the statute to negotiate that long-term tax certainty prior to them making a significant investment in economic development in that area. So that's the role they're asking from us. They did not get that, and I think that's something that's going to continue to be discussed. But right now, it seems a murky path ahead.
You mentioned that every Republican in your chamber voted against this budget, and I presume not just because of the 5% raise. What else bothers you about this $50 billion state budget?
You know, John, this is the largest spending plan in the history of the state, $50.4 billion. To give context, the budget prior to when Governor Pritzker came into office was $39.5 billion. This represents $11 billion growth in spending over the governor's 5 years. It's a pace we're not going to be able to continue and absorb. And at the same time, with the highest spending plan, we were really advocating for more long-term approach with some pro-growth policies. We really left job creators behind in this budget, and job creators have been left behind year over year. And we've really got to turn our attention to the business environment to make sure we are competitive in the Midwest in attracting and retaining business and ultimately jobs. And that's where I think this budget missed the mark. That type of spending got crowded out with further patches and investments in the social safety network. The biggest topic was the free health care for undocumented residents, which to date has no controls on it. It's showing explosive growth and really budgeting that the cost was going to be slashed in half because the governor's going to put rules in place, slashing that, the benefit in the program in half, I think is very questionable at best.
I'm sorry, but are you saying that we should or should not provide health care for undocumented immigrants?
We should not be providing health care, John, at a more robust amount. The program should be capped at basic necessities that are needed. There is no doubt that if we don't provide anything, residents are showing up in hospitals, they're going to be treated, and there's going to be a cost that way.
Yeah.
Certainly understand that. But, no copays. A citizen on Medicaid has copays. Not being placed into managed care, a citizen in Medicaid is under managed care and has restrictions. We should be looking at, there's no prescription drug restriction on this. There are ways to bring the cost down. Is the governor going to do that? It's a wait and see. And you also have to remember, we're not getting a reimbursement government on it, which is also a huge cost factor.
Yeah. I just wonder where these people who are arriving with everything that they own on their back, I don't know how. I take your point. I'd love it if they would be able to pay. Do they have the means to pay some of these people, copays or for prescription drugs?
Well, John, if you're talking about the asylum seekers, that's a whole different program.
Ah.
And that we are getting reimbursement from the federal government for that. And that's where you see the Cook County Health and Hospital System, that whole network has really stepped up and stepped forward and done a very good job providing that health care. There is a cost there. The state is participating in that, but that's not the subset that we're talking about here.
I see.
Now, eventually, if those people don't get on their own feet. Become gainfully employed over a five-year period, they will be out of that federal program and would fall into this category. But that's not the population that we're seeing this explosive growth.
So I understand. And then about the business community, which you think is left out of this budget, just one last thing about that. What would Republicans ask that we do to make the environment in the state better for them?
John, really, we're the franchise tax under 20. I mean, a whole host of tax policies that we were pushing, and we weren't married to any one or two of them. We wanted to see movement to allow and incentivize job creators to reinvest in their businesses. At the same time, we're very disappointed. This is a non-budget item that the BIPA law, the reforms that the Illinois Supreme Court invited us to. Weigh in on, with that outrageous White Castle's jury verdict of $17 billion, which bankrupts the company, if that stands, we failed in that area as well. So I think it's a whole host of opportunity available for us, and we need to turn our attention to it. I saw an article today where the governor rightfully is trying to, and I wish him luck, trying to attract further investment in the electronic vehicle battery making. But when you're talking about the size of the incentives he is putting on the table, and you compare that to where some of these facilities are located in other Midwest states and the much smaller incentive package they're accepting there to invest, I think that shows what we're ultimately paying for our unfriendly business environment.
I'm sorry, are you saying that our offer to that kind of a business is more generous than these other states they're going to?
That's what I was reading today,
right,
and we're waiting to see.
But they're still choosing not to come to Illinois, which says something about the business climate in the state. That's what you're telling me, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm telling you, John. I'm hopeful that we're going to get some wins here. I'm cheering the governor on in that respect, but it does show where we're out of step with our competitor. I mean, we're competing with neighboring states, and ultimately we got to make sure we're in a competitive posture, and that is something the General Assembly really needs to concentrate on as we go forward.
Amen to that. John Curran is a GOP leader, the GOP Senate leader in Illinois. John, good to hear your voice. Thanks for coming on with us. Let's have another conversation like this soon.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.